You're listening to the most exciting morning show in Tallahassee, The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on Tallahassee's only locally owned radio station. Real Talk 93.3.
Check this out.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the city of Tallahassee, it's The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by Blue Halo, QC Kinetics, Paul's Termite and Pest Control, Hearth and Patio, Southeast Portable Buildings, Infinity of Tallahassee, and Kraft Nissan. In celebration of spring break, I've got my sleeveless airbrush t-shirt, my cutoff jorts, and my feathered Def Leppard brooch clip unironically clipped to my green bandana. Club La Vila, here I come! Wait, they're what? Oh, okay. I guess Spinnaker's it is! Really? They're close too? Well, I guess we'll just have to make our own fun then. Dana and Tanner Terry will have a real conversation, and Jamie McClenny will cover your assets. Plus, Habana's Boardwalk on the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food. And now, he wonders how no one has ever tried to deep-fry potato salad. Greg Tisch!
Good morning, Matty Rowe. Good morning, Tallahassee. Good morning, Apalachicola, Carabel, Thomasville, Cincinnati, and Massachusetts. Currently 44-ish degrees in the Capital County, 43 now, going to be a high of 76 degrees today.
Mm.
Mainly sunny to start, then a few afternoon clouds. Tomorrow, 50 and 76, and then Thursday, 57 and 84 degrees.
Ooh.
Danielle Kelly will have the official weather forecast at the bottom of the hour. I've heard from Tony. I haven't heard from John yet. Wake up, John.
It's probably chilly. He's probably snuggled up underneath all those covers.
Well, the question's going to be, who's colder, us, Mass, or Ohio?
Oh, wow. You're throwing us into the mix as well.
I mean, it's my car said 41 coming in. All right, there's John.
Okay. Going to say that John is the coldest today.
I'm going with what my car said. I have 41 in my car.
41. I did not even check the temperature when I was driving in this morning.
That's okay.
I'm going to say, but it was kind of chilly at the house when I walked out, and I didn't have a sweater on or a jacket or anything else like that.
You just had your little satin robe on.
That's right. Exactly. I'm going to say that John is 36.
Okay.
I'm going to say Tony is 38, and then we are 41.
Okay, we're 41.
Got one.
According to my car.
All right.
Somebody's 36 and somebody's 42.
Oh. All right. So I'm going to say John, 36, Tony, 42.
Strike that, reverse.
Oh, so close.
So 42 in Cincy, 36 in Mass.
All right. That works.
They're getting better, but I bet they ain't getting up to 76 today.
No.
Yesterday was so nice.
It was,
wasn't
it? It
was so nice to do absolutely nothing.
Oh.
And I got home, and I was like, it is freezing. And so I turned on my heat and let the heat kick the house in a little bit. And then once it got a little nice, little toasty, then I turned it off.
Right.
And then I was like, I have to the left and right of my TV, I have these built-ins. And just got, you know, little junk on there.
Right.
And I haven't cleaned them in a while. As a matter of fact, I've never cleaned the shelves.
I like the honesty. I put stuff up there a couple of years back. I've never, ever, ever cleaned it.
Yeah. We're just sitting up there. And I was like, okay, let me clean one of these shelves. There's just a lot of stuff that's on there. I need to condense a lot of the stuff.
Right.
And so that turned into just a major project yesterday. And it felt so good. Oh, John's getting to 70 today.
Hey.
It felt so good when I was done. I got rid of so much. I mean, I cleaned up so much shelf space.
Right.
Because I've had like shelves that just had games, board games in there. And I was like, okay, I'm getting rid of everyone, moving everyone that I don't play.
Sure.
And that was everyone that was down there.
Every single one.
Because I have an ottoman that has, I have two ottomans, a larger ottoman that connected to the couch, and, yeah. and then another one just got, and it's got, they both have games in them.
Right.
So I just filled them up with games and cleared the shelves off, and then pulled out the turntables, cleaned the turntables off, and then just started rearranging everything. And I was like, can't stop now.
Yeah.
And just kept going and kept going, and just, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, why, because if you don't, if you stop right there, you've got that demarcation of clutter.
Right.
You can see where, you can literally see where you stopped.
And then, so I was like, all right, why do I have this table full of just old radios right here?
Uh-huh.
Why do I have all these old radios out here? So I was like, went and moved those, and then I was like, all right, this table just looks stupid sitting here by itself.
Okay.
Got rid of the table, too, and then opened up the living room, and I was like, ah, this feels good. Millie comes off the front porch. She literally just looks around, and, like, she doesn't, but it's like kind of like just shrugged her shoulders, went and laid on her couch. And she was like, this is cool, Dad. Can you move this a little bit closer to the window?
Right.
Because where her couch is not near a window. Oh, and I could move it, but it just seemed a little too cluttery. But it just felt good.
Yeah.
Oh, it just felt good. Cleaned the carpets, vacuumed, you know, had my Christmas candles burning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have any other candles, but I bought these Christmas candles that smell like Christmas cookies.
I was like to say, ooh, it smells like gingerbread in the house. How about that?
And tried to, and then they're so burned down. They're three wick candles, mm-hmm. one wick candles, but they're like paper wick or something. They're fancy.
Right. Okay.
And I couldn't get my hand in there enough.
Down in there?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm going to burn myself with this lighter because I don't have one of
the long ones.
The candle lighters.
Yeah.
So I got that going. It starts smelling just so good in the house. I was like, okay. I'm going to watch Curb and take a nap.
That's a good idea.
And Curb was funny.
Yeah.
This last season of Curb is just, it's great. Lori Loughlin was on Curb.
Lori Loughlin, she was the one from
Full House.
Full House. And
she got
in
trouble with the college admissions.
Yeah, yeah. She got her daughter into school by faking being a crew member or something like that, where she was like pretending that she was rowing.
Well, they paid an agent.
Yeah, yeah.
They paid an agent and she got in a lot of trouble. And so they kind of pulled a Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
Because with, I think, season 10 or 9 or 8, somewhere Michael J. Fox made fun of himself.
Right, right.
With Parkinson's.
Okay.
Kind of the same thing. I don't want to give too much away because the episode just came out on Sunday.
Oh, okay, okay.
And kind of the same thing with Lori Loughlin. And it was pretty funny. It wasn't a great episode. Wasn't a bad episode. Didn't move anything forward. It was kind of a throwaway episode. Didn't move the there's always a season plot.
Right.
And this didn't move the plot forward at all.
Okay, so it was just sort of a one-off.
It was kind of a one-off, but it was a very funny one-off. But it was a very funny one-off. Some of the stuff that happened in the episode you just can't say on radio.
Right.
So if you're a fan of that show, this final season, well, I think this is like, what, the third time that Larry David said, I'm done!
Yeah, he'll probably come back again. Like, he can't help himself. He's like, I have to do something, so I'll just come back again.
It was pretty funny. So we got Habanas.
Habanas Boardwalk on today.
On the Wheel of Food for spring break today.
Indeed.
I talked with Eric, the owner of Habanas. And I was like, hey, I need to come by and get some more gift cards. And he's like, dude, we're on spring break. And I was like, and I just put in all caps, spring break.
Spring break.
And he just LOL. So I said, have a great time. We'll talk to you when you get back. And then saw some other friends at dear lifelong friend of mine, she's like, there's people drinking at the airport at 5:30.
Spring break.
Spring break.
That makes a lot of sense.
I used to do that.
Sure.
Get on a flight, does it just go straight to the bar?
Truth.
Be right back.
I don't know about you, but I absolutely love this damn show. Greg Tisch and Matt Eero will be right back. Greg Tisch. Call 850-386-8255. That's 850-386-TALK. Real talk, 93.3.
Sponsor this half hour, Kraft Nissan out on Mahan Drive. If you're looking for an awesome, amazing new Nissan or a premium pre-owned vehicle, go check out our friends at Kraft Nissan, either in person between Costco and Academy, or jump on KraftNissan.com and peruse all the vehicles they have. Schedule a test drive, and Phil and the gang will have it ready for you. That's Kraft Nissan. Out on Mahan Drive.
Nice, nice, nice.
So yesterday afternoon, it was just probably around 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the entire time chain just totally hit me.
Okay.
And I was just like, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I was like, but I need to eat.
And but it was only 5 o'clock though.
I know. And then so I was like, but I need to eat. And so went and cranked up the grill and then cooked steak and some sausage. Forgot to bring them in for you.
Actually, that's okay.
I didn't forget. I'm not bringing these. These are so good. The peppered cheese sausage from Porterhouse is just, oh my gosh, it's so good. And then I got a prime steak from him. So cooked that up and it was so good. And then just Millie's begs. She's a hard beggar.
Right.
But this was, she was like prancing following me around.
She's like, we eating steak now.
And just sitting there whining. And I was like, all right, I'll save you the fat. Mm-hmm. You can get that at the end. Just sit, lay down.
Right.
So, I mean, her laying down lies for about 5 seconds and she gets really excited. But, God, that peppered cheese sausage is just so good. And I know that he's selling out quick on it because the secret's out.
I know. Everybody knows where to get it now. And they're like, oh, let's go get it.
Oh, it's so good. All those varieties. Yeah, he misses you.
I know.
He said, I miss Matt. Uh-huh. And I was like, I do too. And he goes, well, you see him every day. I said, yeah, but here. And he pointed to my heart. So, all right, name all the space companies that are flying right now.
SpaceX. Mm-hmm. What's the other one? The Amazon one is...
That's good. Yeah.
Jet Blue or Space Blue or something like that. Space.
Jet Blue's an airliner. But we'll take Bezos because I can't remember the name.
I don't remember what the name is, but and I'm guessing NASA.
No.
NASA doesn't even go up anymore. They're just like, whatever. You guys take it. Take the wheel.
NASA's not launching anything.
Okay. I think that's it, isn't it?
It and Branson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is that? Virgin Galaxy or something like that? Virgin Space or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's basically three that are just sort of like the.
And you have the private companies in Japan.
Okay.
That are doing that.
Okay.
But, you have, I think there's some Indian.
Okay.
Companies that are also going up. There's a lot going up, and so now can everything. I mean, Boeing, they have their Starliner, and they're going to debut their crew launch. They were supposed to launch a couple days ago, but they didn't. And so they've set that back to April because there's no room for them to dock at the ISS.
Oh, wow.
They're taking a crew up to the ISS and literally traffic jam. So like, we're coming up in March. Oh, guys, you really can't do that. Let's do it in April. So they're not going to go earlier than April 22nd because of this. But Boeing, and again, this is a pretty cool ship, and they've done their test flights and everything, but this will be... crew flight test, and it'll send astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams for a 10-day stay at the ISS.
Okay, interesting.
And so they'll head up there, but Boeing is like, this is a historic launch. Is it historic anymore?
I don't know. What was it? There were like 12 launches over the weekend by SpaceX, by
there was
Elon's
two.
Thing. Yeah, but he's put up like multiple.
There's been 24 launches this month, or this year, excuse me.
Exactly.
So going up, like, this is going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm wondering about like the traffic jam at the International Space Station. Is there like an 87 Econoline like custom conversion van that's blocking the access port or something? Why
Eagle One is up there.
Oh, okay.
Lone Star.
Okay.
They're taking their time.
Maybe I'm amazed that they're not getting back down here.
Don't do that. Don't do that to that terrific movie. Don't do that to that terrific movie.
Oh, my goodness. I guess maybe they need to put more shuttle bays up there or something so that they can get more traffic up there.
Join the Starliner crew as we usher in a new era in space exploration.
Mm-hmm.
With the CST-100 Starliner, we are changing the way people travel to and from space.
Hmm.
This is your chance to go behind the scenes as we gear up for launch. Sign up to be a part of every mission. Go inside the Starliner program and grab a front row seat for these historic events.
I do like their uniforms are kind of cool. The ones that they've got over there right now. They look a lot more streamlined than the old school bulky suits that they had before. They are getting more and more...
Star Trek-ish.
Star Trek-ish. Well, actually, I was going to say... what was the prequel to Aliens?
Alien. Oh, the prequel. Sorry.
Yeah, the prequel to those. It was the
one that's coming out. Is that a prequel?
No. The it starts with a P, I think.
Prometheus.
Yeah. Prometheus.
Oh, that was the prequel to Alien?
Yeah.
Okay, never saw it.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever seen Alien. Really? I don't think I've seen Alien, Aliens, Aliens 3, Aliens 4, Aliens 5. I don't even know how many there are. I've never seen an Alien.
Huh. Okay.
I know that, what's her name's in it?
Yeah.
Zool.
Sigourney
Dana,
Weaver.
Dana, yes.
Yes. I don't think that she's in those anymore, although if they are going to put another one out.
I think she's probably like a robot.
She may be. But at that point, she's getting up there in age. Robots don't really age that way.
These are cool-looking space uniforms, with the all blue.
Because,
when I send somebody up to space, I want them to wear blue,
like they can
just blend in.
Well, they don't have the shields like Elon has, so everything has to be blue on the bottom of it, just so they kind of fit in the sky.
Thank you, Tony. Blue Origin.
Blue Origin. Okay. That was it.
Thanks. Ray just said, basically, NASA has to call an Uber to get to and from space. That's true.
It is. Or a space lift.
But when do we stop calling it historic?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess that it's historic in that it has never actually been
Boeing.
Up before. Yeah, it's historic for Boeing. Everybody else is just like, hey, welcome. You can park over there. So as long as you've got availability, as long as you can get up there, I guess that you can have a free spot.
What are they calling? What are they calling UFOs now? What is it? UAP?
Is it UAV or UAP?
UAP.
UAP.
Unidentified aerial phenomenon?
Maybe. Something like that. I'm not sure what the acronym stands for.
Unidentified anomalous phenomenon.
Wow. Now I'm glad that they do have an acronym for that, because that is a mouthful otherwise. Why can't you just go UFO? I mean, we don't know what it is.
I guess because they're not sure that it's an object that it's flying.
Okay, so what would it be otherwise?
A phenomenon.
It could be
a cloud formation or something. I guess that is a flying object, technically.
Yeah, true. And if it's that kind of a phenomenon, it's going to be recognizable.
Well, a new Pentagon report says that UFOs are most likely ordinary objects.
Are they backing this up? Are they stepping back from what they were saying before?
What were they saying before?
They were saying there are things up there that we don't know what they are.
Right. That's what a UAP is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unidentified phenomenon.
But now they're saying, well, most of this stuff, we already know what it is. But no, they don't. That's why it's a UAP. We're not sure what the heck that thing is. I mean, all of these different crafts and doohickeys and Foo Fighters riding around up in the sky, they're not sure.
Should I ding you for a World War II reference?
No.
Foo Fighters?
Yes.
Yeah, you're getting dinged for that.
But it's also a rock band.
But you weren't making a reference to the rock band. You were making a reference to the World War II Foo Fighters.
But that's just because that's where the name comes from.
AARO, the Pentagon's reporting agency, found no evidence for claims that private companies have been reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. So they're not doing Independence Day.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're saying that everything is explainable. Some may take a little longer to do that. But it's just funny how as cars progress, so have the UFO sightings.
That's true too.
That in the 50s, that UFOs look like 1950s cars.
That's true,
or
too.
Or hubcaps, I should say. Be right back.
Unfortunately, they don't have anywhere to park.
You're listening to Real Talk 93.3, The Greg Tisch Show, with Matty Rowe behind the glass.
Matt, you have a mission today, and has this mission. You have no choice on whether to accept it or not, because you are taking this mission.
Okay.
Is to make coffee.
Aha.
And you need to make this coffee prior to 8 a.m.
I'm a Maddie on a mission.
Because when Terry Madigan comes in, in his contract, it says there'll be hot, delicious grassroots coffee.
That is correct.
If you'd like to join Matt on his mission, go to grassrootscoffee.com, find the style you want. They'll roast it up, grind it up, blend it up. They'll do all sorts of great stuff to it. Get it out. They'll roast it up, grind it up, bag it up, tag it up.
Yep.
Get it out to you.
Indeed.
Make Terry happy. Open that new bag.
Mm-hmm. And make you happy, too.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Be able to drink some delicious Grassroots coffee in the morning or in the afternoon as a pickup right around 3 o'clock, since it'll be technically 4 o'clock for you then. So you'll be feeling a little tired.
People drink coffee in the afternoons?
Sure.
Oh.
Especially after daylight savings.
Saving.
You have to. It just, it's, if otherwise you end up with a little nappy nap and you're just sitting there going, oh, tired now. So I can understand that. It works. Yeah, I need to go and make some real quick and, cause I'm a little bit sleepy myself.
Have you ever heard of Picasso? Pig Casso? P-I-G-Casso.
Pig Casso. Pig Casso. I'm guessing it's going to be a pig that paints in a minimalist. Really?
Yes.
That's what it is.
There's Picasso. Okay. So it's a famous painting pig. I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Took the world by storm with her jaw-dropping expressionist works.
Really? Okay.
Picasso had been suffering from arthritis in recent years and began rapidly deteriorating in 2023. Get off my lawn. I'm just a painter.
Just hogging up all the space.
So Picasso had been rescued from a South African intensive factory farm where animals are confined to... It's a slaughterhouse.
Okay. Yeah.
So she moved to... Picasso went to a sanctuary called Farm Sanctuary South Africa, which provides shelter for farm rescue animals.
Okay.
Once Picasso got her new stall at the sanctuary, things started to get interesting. She ate or destroyed everything that caretakers and put in front of her in the stall, except for one thing, a paintbrush.
Why were they putting a paintbrush in front of her?
That's a good question.
I mean, what happened? They're like, you know what? We've given her all of these different items. We gave her a badminton set. Here's and why. She ate it. She didn't play badminton.
They threw in some soccer balls, rugby balls, and there were some paintbrushes lying around because the barn was newly built. Let's just leave paintbrushes around for the animals to eat.
Yep.
And she basically ate or destroyed everything except the paintbrushes. So she apparently loved having them in her mouth.
Hmm. All right.
So the caretaker decided something crazy to see if the pig was interested in painting. She modified the paintbrush so it could fit in the pig's mouth and soon found out her hunch was correct. The pig wanted to paint. Proceeded to teach Picasso how to paint using positive reinforcement techniques. All right, shake.
Right.
Sit.
Mm-hmm.
Move your mouth.
Yeah. So she got little snacks and things.
Feeding her grapes and giving her one-on-one lessons involving the caretaker on her hands and knees, crawling around the barn with a brush in her mouth.
Huh. All right.
So they went to create good art together. And the art that Picasso made... Some sold for thousands of dollars. There was one called Wild and Free, and it sold for almost $27,000.
Hmm. Good Lord. Okay.
So Picasso has 112,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
And Picasso is now bacon.
Oh, no.
Picasso has passed away.
She passed. Aw. Well. There goes that meal ticket. That's unfortunate.
No. Here comes the meal ticket.
Oh.
But also looking at this art, it's kind of cool. This would be kind of cool to have.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Oh, it's a Picasso.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's so gorgeous.
Wow. That's amazing.
Where did you get that?
Tell from the lines.
Yes. I just see, you know what I see in here? That the world is a pig pen.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Picasso was so messy of an artiste.
But some of the paintings were kind of cool. That would make for, good discussion.
Yeah. Of course,
so 8 years old.
The next of kin is carrying out the deceased's wishes to be cremated. So they're going to be doing that for 8 to 12 hours.
One slice
at 250 degrees. And then they will be sprinkling the remains over a plate of baked beans and potato salad. So you will be dearly missed. Deliciously, deliciously missed. I mean, it's kind of a win-win at that point.
Saudi Arabia has made a humanoid robot.
Okay.
And they debuted it over the weekend.
Right.
And so the humanoid robot is developed by a Saudi Arabian AI and robotics company. And when they turned, they posted a video, and it was on X. And then so there's a reporter there that's there and introducing the robot Mohammed.
Okay.
And dressed in classic traditional Saudi Arabian garb.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the reporter goes to introduce the robot, I guess somebody turned the robot on.
Right.
And the robot went to gesture.
Okay.
You know, like, hello.
Right. Like the Hall of Presidents at Disney. You watch them and they just sort of go.
But unfortunately, the reporter was standing in front of the humanoid AI robot.
Okay.
And when the robot's right hand went up, her butt was in the way.
Okay.
So it looks like the second they turn the robot on, that he goes grabbing that butt. And she just calmly just moves up a little bit. Because they turn it and all of a sudden, boom. So it sparked a huge debate.
Okay. On what?
On that, you know.
Where you should stand next to an AI robot?
This was done on purpose.
Ooh. But if the robot can think on its own, then wouldn't it be like doing that to like a Dell computer or something?
All right, here's what I get. All right, I'm watching the video. So they turn it on, and then the robot is raising its hand, and then I guess puts its hand back down because it was saying something.
Okay. So it was gesturing.
Yeah. Its head is moving, and its arm was moving up.
Mm-hmm.
And then so she just looks back like, what the heck just happened? And there's a female robot off to the side also.
And she's shaking her head.
So, but this reporter was going that the reporter looked back in shock. And I'm like, what? She just looked back and just said, I'm too close to this robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that.
And then people are like, oh, they made a perv robot.
Yeah. I would think that this would be a complete and total, like, just, like a mistake, as it were. Unless the robot autonomous. Had not said honk, honk.
Honk, honk. Sorry.
Honk, honk.
So many viewers suggest that the robot might have been trying to persuade Kasim, the reporter, to move forward or offer her a welcome hand after she introduced herself to the robot.
Sure.
That's what I said. Not exactly. As nefarious as it looked.
Right, right. And it looks like it didn't like continue up. It felt resistance and was like, oh, and then moved back down.
But then all of a sudden, all the male reporters wanted to go introduce Sarah, the female robot.
Well, hello. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think that is that question of humanizing just inanimate objects. But with a robot, I guess that is sort of what you do. I'm sure that it was not an intentional thing, but people are freaking out about it because it makes good news. I mean, it's going to get into the news cycle because of that. And now we're going to have all of these debates about can AIs be pervs or things like that, you know? And then we're going to all of a sudden have all of this legislature saying, okay, well you have to make sure that the robots don't do weird things.
All right. So if we look toward the movies, as the futuristic movies, Blade Runner, lots of pervs in there.
Sure.
With that. And then that is the technology. I mean, that's the industry that will drive this technology.
Of course.
Loneliness.
Heck, even
and
in
then AI.
Yeah, in AI they had the sex workers.
They had the whole section of
town.
Was it
Jude Law?
Yeah.
Was the
comfort robot? That was a long, awfully good movie. But awfully long. Like, you just want to fast forward, but you know you'll miss something.
Right.
And God, that movie, was that
Haley Joel Olmert, or whatever it is.
He was on Larry Sanders.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He does not look anything like he did as a kid.
He's a little round.
Yeah, he's a little rotund, and he's got a jolly little beard. He's possibly going to be taking on the role of the roaming gnome. So, that could be fun.
Food segment when we get back.
Food segment. Woohoo!
We'll be right back with the Greg Tisch Show on Tallahassee's Real Talk Station, Real Talk 93.3. We're number one on your radio presets. Greg Tisch on Real Talk 93.3.
If you're looking for some of the best coffee you'll ever have, look no further than Grassroots Coffee, baby. Grassroots Coffee, they'll roast it up, they'll grind it up, they'll bag it up, and they'll get it out to you, man. I tell you what, it's just fantastic. It's just awesome.
It goes really well with a peanut butter and nana sandwich.
Oh, man, I just love me a peanut butter and nana sandwich. For some reason, my Elvis is turning into Obama.
Yes, it is.
I tell you what, man, get you some Grassroots Coffee.
You won't regret it. It's so good. It really is.
Yeah, go to grassrootscoffee.com, find the style that you want. If you haven't signed up for their newsletter yet, join the fam. Mm-hmm. Get 15% off your new order. Food segment.
Food segment. I'm ready.
Fried potato salad.
Yeah. I thought about it and was like, you know, I've never seen that before. And then, of course, right after I had said that, I went online and found multiple recipes exactly for that.
It's a thing. Even Guy Fieri, what's his name?
Guy Fieri.
Fieri.
Yeah.
He's got fried German potato salad recipe. Deep fried potato salad.
It sounds actually pretty good. The idea of that with like some onions in there, too.
So they have deep fried potato salad balls.
Mm-hmm.
And then so this has been out, this is 4 years ago. So they're showing how this couple at the Texas State Fair, because they fry everything.
Right.
Makes these, oh boy, they do look good.
Well, I was thinking about it, like, during this entire time, how you would make it so that they don't fall apart. I'm guessing have to, like, make it into a ball, freeze it or chill it so that it gets to the consistency where it won't fall apart, put on an egg wash, dip it in flour, and then either dip it in pankow or into, like, into a pancake batter. I would think that a pankow would probably be better than a pancake batter, but it does sound.
I wouldn't use. Yeah, I wouldn't use pancake batter. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd use definitely with some breadcrumbs or something more. Yeah, pankow mm-hmm. or something.
It does sound delicious, and I can just imagine what it would be like. Now I'm gonna have to try and figure out how to do it.
This recipe uses instant mashed potato flakes for breading.
Hey, that can work too. I can even see the little crispity bits, like, getting all fried up on the edges. That way you get that good crunch when you bite into it. Mmm. I like that idea. That sounds really good. All right. So maybe we'll have to try and put that together for one of the food segments.
I can't remember
the
last time I fried something.
It's been a while. It's been quite some time.
Did your parents ever have one of those fry daddies?
No. No.
It was the law in the 70s.
I'm sure it was.
You had the fry daddy, and you had that really old oil just sitting in the pantry.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then every once in a while, you just, like, filter out the bugs and go and put it back out. Oh, it's still good. Don't worry about it. Fine. Anything that's gross in there will just burn off.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than getting French fries or something just cooked in old oil. But there's nothing better than getting French fries cooked in fresh oil.
Yeah, the old oil when it's got that brown or black crusty bit things that of long gone French fries that should have been taken out a long, long time ago. But those are just the leftover crispies. No, thanks.
I'm just going to say the name of an item.
Okay.
And I want you to try, I know I always do this to you, but you're good at some of these things. I think you'll be good at this.
You think so?
Yes.
Like word association?
Well, yes, but this is a recipe.
Okay.
This is for an appetizer.
All right.
And it's called, and I want you to try to figure out what is in this.
I'm going to reverse manufacture this
thing.
Yes,
because, and I'm just saying a name.
Okay.
Texas Twinkie.
Texas Twinkie.
A Texas Twinkie.
Okay.
What do you think is in a Texas Twinkie?
All right, so here is my idea for a Texas Twinkie. First, you get a Twinkie.
No.
No?
No.
It's called a Texas Twinkie.
It is.
Don't you have a Twinkie in the thing?
No.
There is no Twinkie in it.
No, Texas Twinkie. What would, no. This is an appetizer.
All right. I know about the shotgun shells. That would sort of be Twinkie shape.
No.
But no.
No.
All right.
You're way off.
I am very far off in this one, especially since there's no Twinkie in a Texas Twinkie.
That's why I said appetizer, not dessert.
Okay. Is there any kind of breading in it?
No.
Whatsoever? No?
No.
All right. Well, I'm very confused then. The first thing that I thought of when you said a Texas Twinkie.
Should have gone with it.
Was brisket.
Okay, there is brisket in there.
Sliced up and then folded into an open Twinkie. And then wrapped in bacon and then fried from there.
Okay, you are missing one ingredient. Take out
really?
The Twinkie. What are you going to put the brisket and wrap with also with your scallions, your cheddar cheese, mm-hmm. your garlic, and barbecue sauce? What are you going to put? What's going to be your vessel that's going to be wrapped in bacon?
A jalapeno.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. How about that? And so I got it all except for the Twinkie, the vessel.
It's like a better jalapeno popper.
It sounds good.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah. It sounds very good.
So combine your scallions, cream cheese, cheddar, and garlic in a large bowl, stirring until well combined. Mm-hmm. Add brisket, just chunks of brisket.
Right.
And set aside.
Okay.
Wear gloves for the pepper prep. Yes, always wear gloves when you're cooking jalapenos.
Indeed.
So cut them in half, or don't cut them in half, just kind of score them.
Right.
Where you can get inside and take the seeds out, so you're making a nice little pocket.
Okay.
In there, and then add everything in. Add
all right.
your mixture in.
Yeah.
So jalapeno popper.
Yeah.
But then you wrap with bacon.
All right.
And then you add you add your barbecue seasoning on top of the bacon,
mm-hmm.
and then let it cook for a little while.
Right.
And then brush it with some barbecue sauce.
Sounds
until
good.
The bacon is crispy.
It does sound good, but when you say Twinkie, you've got to have some sort of
Texas
breading.
Twinkie.
I know it's a Texas Twinkie, but even in Texas, Twinkies. They have to have some sort of breading. Now, from what you were just saying.
Are you going to stuff that into a Twinkie?
No, not even that. What I was thinking is instead of doing it that way, get yourself some Pillsbury biscuits. And then cut a hole out of the sleeve of biscuits so that you basically have like the biscuit dough with a hole down the middle, pipe in the stuff into that hole and then wrap with
shove
bacon.
The jalapenos.
Yeah.
Or like, shove just the concoction.
Well, you could even chop put the jalapeno.
Chop up the jalapenos and then throw it in there.
And then like use a piping bag with a large gauged hole. And then just
what about
fill
just
it up?
Taking some croissants and then just wrapping the jalapenos with croissants?
That could be possible too, but then you've just got like croissant poppers. But this way, you can still sort of call it a Twinkie because it's just the breading. Plus, you've also got to get some of the sweetness too. Where are you going to get the sweetness from, like the marshmallows?
Dude, Texas, man, Texas, Texas.
Okay, so maybe some baked beans in there instead. That could work, maybe.
No, I'm just doing brisket.
Mm. Yeah, brisket would be very good.
I mean, even though the jalapeno, the Texas Twinkies have brisket in it, yeah, I'm doing brisket.
It wouldn't bother me. I'd be happy with that. It does sound delicious. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how you can get the breading into that too. And would the breading be an exterior thing or an interior thing?
You're the only one adding breading.
Why?
Because you got lost on the word Twinkie.
Yeah, I think that I'm focusing on the Twinkie part of the Texas Twinkie.
You're being a Tallahassee right now. All you're doing is focusing on the Twinkie part.
I do like Twinkies, though. Have you ever had, this is going to be a goofy one, have you ever had a Twinkie dog before? The Twinkie dog that was made in UHF by Weird Al? That was basically, it was a hot dog, but instead of using a hot dog
bun,
you use a Twinkie.
So that's... Oh, okay. And so then, you stuff your wiener inside a Twinkie?
Yeah, you just cut it open across the top, yeah, put the wiener
it.
In. It's actually pretty good.
You've tried it?
Yeah, man. Of course. It's not bad.
Weird Al.
It's not good either, but it's not bad.
It might inspire more on this show with food. Be right back after this Town Hall news break.
Let's take a look at your total comfort traffic from Berno Heating and Air Conditioning.
Traffic's pretty easy out in the Capital County right now. No accidents report, very light traffic going on. Remember, when emergency vehicles are coming by you,
mm-hmm.
you need to stop.
Oh, yeah.
Just had a fire truck and an ambulance go by on Callaway.
Right.
Nobody was stopping.
good Lord.
If you see anything out there, give Matty Rowe a call, 850-386-8255. That's 850-386-8255. Do have an accident, actually, on Appalachia Parkway near, I can't even tell where that is, in the 1500 block of Appalachia Parkway. So be wary of that.
Check this out.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the city of Tallahassee, it's the Greg Tish Show, featuring Matty Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Termite and Pest Control, Hearth and Patio, Southeast Portable Buildings, Infinity of Tallahassee, Kraft Nissan, Blue Halo, and QC Kinetics. And now, if we make U-turns in America, do people in Australia make lowercase n turns? Greg Tish!
Good morning, Matty Rowe. Good morning, Tallahassee. Good morning, Apalachicola, Carabel, and of course, our good friends up in Cincinnati and in Massachusetts. Currently 44 degrees in the Capital County. Going to be a high of 77 degrees today. Tomorrow, 50 and 77. And Thursday, 58 and 85 degrees.
Ooh. Getting warmer so already,
the
man.
The last little punch of Matty Rowe weather
will not come until the end of the month.
No. It's today.
I'm still thinking we got one more left.
Okay. You're probably going to be right.
There's one last
usually
huzzah.
Your predictions are usually pretty, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I ended up going down a rabbit hole. Pole Barn Garage is this guy's YouTube channel.
Okay.
And he's in somewhere in the Midwest because wherever he was driving, it was just corn everywhere.
Right.
And this guy goes and finds barn vehicles. Vehicles that have been sitting around
for barn fresh.
20 plus years.
Yeah. Those
and
are fun.
And so yesterday, and I watched. I was cleaning, not really paying attention, but I was doing a deep clean in the living room yesterday. And so this was kind of on in the background. This guy went and found a 77 Monte Carlo. Hadn't been registered since 2001.
Okay.
This car had not been on the road. No, Grand Prix, excuse me. It was a Pontiac Grand Prix.
Okay.
And had not been on the road since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in a barn, just nasty, nasty vehicle.
Right.
And his saying is that he spent $1,500 on it for the car. And that he said, I'm not going to put in more than $2,500 total on this car. That I'm going to make this a good cruiser. There's no reason, you know, when you go to your cars and coffee, you go cruising. Want to go to the ice cream shop with your kids or something? There's no reason you need to spend $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, $20,000 or more on a weekend cruiser.
Okay.
And he goes, I'm going to do this on a budget. I think, and I'd start looking through all his videos. They're all hour long videos.
Right.
He does this with each vehicle. Finds a car in a barn up in Ohio, Midwest somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas is where he lives. Excuse me. And that he fixes them up on a cheap budget.
Right.
And then he gives updates on them. He's got probably 15, 20 vehicles that he hasn't paid a lot of money for. And so he got this 77 Pontiac and literally has the back window. I don't know how the back window was in place because the entire back window just had rust around it.
Okay.
And so the first thing they did was to get the car running, and he has a son that helps him.
Right.
And so they literally changed the battery, changed the oil, put some new fuel in it. And again, this car hasn't been on the road or registered since 2001.
Okay.
It cranked right up.
Oh, nice. All right.
Cranked right up.
It makes you wonder, why was it parked, if that's the case?
Because it was probably just parked, as people just park cars
and
just forget about them. That 6 months turns into a year turns into 2 years, 2 years turns into 10, 15, 20. They just sit around.
Yeah, that's true.
And so then he started working on this and just, he's like, look, I don't need this thing to be showroom. I just think this thing needs to be a 20 footer.
Right.
And so he goes through and he paints it using, it was a silver that was used on Massey Ferguson's.
Hmm. Okay.
So he used farm tractor spray.
Right.
Or paint.
I gotcha.
Mix it up. And then when he was finished, I didn't think it looked that great, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then he and his wife jumped in and they took it on a test drive and the car ran fantastic.
Hmm.
And then he found another one. He found a 77 Ford Cobra
right
in there.
In the same barn or in a different barn?
Different barns.
Okay, okay.
And then so, and then the engine was seized, and then so we had another 302 that was laying around, so they put that in there and then got that running. But it was so cool to see him because he's probably 38, somewhere around there, 35, 38, somewhere around there, but he's got his kid working with him. He could be a little older.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then his wife's just, you know, she's there with the camera and everything. They have, and then they have, I subscribed to the channel, and I think I was like the 150,000th person. So this guy's a little popular.
Right, right.
And his videos, even though they're extremely long, get lots of views. So one thing that I love on YouTube is when you fast forward and when you're watching on a television, that you'll see the peaks and valleys, and that's with people watching.
Ah, gotcha.
And then so you can go to the biggest peak, and that's the most watched.
That's the high
part
point
of the video. So I watch a lot of cop chase videos, a lot of cop stuff, and I look for that.
You find
most
the ending?
Watch, and I just go right there to where the good stuff happens.
Right.
Because sometimes, like, there was
it'll
one,
go for like 45 minutes of a car just riding around.
I was
around
watching this Dodge Charger car chase.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Indiana, and it was like a 45-minute long car chase, and I just went to the most watched part.
Yeah.
And it's where the Dodge was going 160 miles per hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And went around a curve, and the driver was not wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, boy. All right. So he did a lot of gymnastics going out
did
of that
not,
thing.
Did not make it. But then they showed with the police, one cop knew who the guy was that was running, and they're searching this cornfield, and he's like, Deeb, come on out, brother. Come on out. I know you're hurting. Just let me know where you are. Let me know where you are.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they're searching. They're like, all right, there's a flip-flop and a bag of weed. There's the bumper. They're literally walking through a cornfield trying to find, and he had passed away.
Yeah.
And they didn't show that on the video, but it was just like, I just fast-forward right to that part.
Right.
And, but 160.
Good
and then
Lord,
for a bag
dude
of weed. Guy lost his life for a bag of weed.
That's unfortunate. Now, on the subject of rebuilding cars, I was trying to find it while you were talking, but there is this kid on Facebook, or it's probably YouTube or Instagram or something like that. Kid's probably around 12 years old, and his dad owns like a machine shop, and he has all of these old cars out in the back, and he had been bugging his dad to let him rebuild one of the vehicles in the back. And he was like, all right, you know what? If you can get this thing started, you can have it. And so it's the chronicles of this kid going back and playing with this ancient El Camino and talking step by step what he's trying to do to make sure that it's got spark, that the engine is not seized up. He's putting new batteries in it. He's putting new tires on it so that it'll roll. He's like going in with a MIG welder and like tightening up the floors. And he's doing all of this stuff on his own. And at one point he was like, yeah, I just got in the new gas tank, but it doesn't have a pump with it. But dad just got one too. So he sneaks over and he steals his dad's pump and puts it in on his car. But it's just, it's awesome the way that that sort of thing happens. So I do really enjoy that kind of a video where it's like somebody who's taking something that everyone else has forgotten about completely and building it into something that's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even, it doesn't even look fantastic, but the amazing part is that this kid has basically resurrected this incredible car, and it's one of those things that he will be able to appreciate and enjoy for years and years and years.
Till the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Until the next one comes along.
Till the next
one. There's always a next one.
Be right back.
Don't forget to write, I Want to Win, on the Greg Tisch Facebook page to qualify for the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food. Welcome back to the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
So it's this half hour, hearth and patio. Time to upgrade those grills.
Yes, it is.
If your grill just bursts into flames because it just needs to be upgraded.
If it's falling apart in your hands.
Yes, call Hearth and Patio, 850-727-4282. That's 850-727-4282. Or online at hearthpatiotallahassee.com. Don't get a grill just for this year or next year. Get a grill for a lifetime. Make that investment. Trust me.
That's true. Plus, it's also nice because you'll be looking over the fence line. You'll see all of your neighbors with their hungry eyes just looking at your grill, going, oh, baby.
So Eric Carmen is the singer of this song. This song was a big hit for him. Now, I don't think it was his biggest hit. I think All By Myself, which I just learned was All By Myself, was based on Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2.
Oh, really?
Learned that. Now I need to look that up to see, you know, All By Myself. So he also had his follow-up single, Never Gonna Fall in Love Again.
Right.
Reached number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100, and that was also based on the main theme of the third movement of Rachmaninoff's Symphony No. 2.
Oh, so what you're saying is he's
listened
just
to Rachmaninoff.
Lifting Rachmaninoff.
And turned them into hits.
You would think that it would have been like easy listening Rachmaninoff from the way that he plays his music.
So, but Hungry Eyes, those from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, took a huge hit.
Right.
Huge hit. And so, let's see. I think that he did. All right. So that's Rock and Roll, which was a song that was originally recorded by Eric Carmen, was then recorded by Sean Cassidy.
Okay.
And it went to number 3 on the charts.
All right.
And then it looks like he had some other that he made it on the top 10 again with Hey Deanie.
Hey Deanie?
Yeah. Well, that was an Eric Carmen song. So Sean Cassidy liked that.
Okay.
So he did that. Well, Eric Carmen passed away. 74 years old. And so, and he was in a band called the Raspberries. And the Raspberries was progressive rock.
Right.
In the early 70s. Ohio band. Cleveland is where this band, they were like the most successful band from Cleveland. So the band broke up in 75, and Carmen built his solo career on Knockout Ballads. And as we mentioned, All By Myself. Later belted out to the Legendary Heights by Celine Dion. She did that? Oh, she did that. Yeah, I remember that. Ugh. So, and then he also co-wrote Almost Paradise from Footloose.
Oh, okay.
Performed by Mike Reno and Ann Wilson.
All right.
And
so he got onto a couple of different dancing
and that
soundtracks.
Earned him his only Grammy nomination, where the soundtrack competed for Best Album of Original Score Written for a Motion Picture. All By Myself, Make Me Lose Control, and Hungry Eyes peaked in the top 10 of Billboard's 100, and each spent more than 4 months in the chart. In all, 13 of Carmen's songs had a place on the chart. So the Raspberries reunited in 99, but Carmen, I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah.
So they did reunite in 2007, but Eric Carmen passing away.
You know, and at 74, that seems very young by comparison. I mean, he's getting up there, but that's still, that's the sliding scale is, it seems like that's a little bit young for somebody like that. Of course, then again, you also remember him back from from like the 80s when he was making the music, and you see him in that perspective, not necessarily as a 74-year-old guy. So, I don't know.
No cause of death was given.
No cause of death?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who knows? It's unfortunate, but I mean, it happens to everybody.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection said that it sees counterfeit designer watches at the Port of Louisville with a retail value of more than $11.7 million.
For counterfeits? How good were these counterfeits?
The shipment contained 35 fake designer watches, which arrived from Hong Kong with the protected trademark of Richard Milley. The watches were on their way to Puerto Rico and was originally stopped by customs officers on March 6th. The shipments by statute provide an admission of articles free of duty or any tax imposed. The shipments are, as the Latin phrase knows, as de minimis, minor ones that are typically of little importance. So de minimis shipping rules apply to one person per day, and individuals typically are exempt from paying a duty of more than $800. Criminals are trying to exploit the mail environment by peddling their counterfeit products. LaFonda D. Sutton Burke, field operator of U.S. Customs Chicago office, even though this package had a low declare valued, they posed the same potential health, safety, and economic security risk as traditional containerized shipments.
Now, that's also an interesting concept, because if these are counterfeit, theoretically you could declare them as being not as like expensive as they potentially could be, Because they're not.
Well, that's what they're doing. Well, Customs said they believe that 90% of shipments coming into U.S. are now entering through the small package environment. From 2015 to 2023, de minimis transactions have increased from 135 million to 1 billion.
To a billion?
So Wish has figured it out. That's a 646% growth in 8 years, making spotting a fake a challenge for agents.
Yeah, but if it's Wish, though, it's not that hard to figure out. You notice that pretty quick.
This had 35. This must have been really good.
Yeah.
Because if these 35 are worth
11 million? 7, yeah. Those are some pretty nice knockoffs, if that's the case. I mean, it's almost to the point where you probably wouldn't even realize that they were knockoffs. So at that point, I don't know, man. You could just see, that's the other thing. If you're making a knockoff that is that good, just make your own watch, dude.
Okay. I just looked up his watches, and it's probably Millet. I don't know how to pronounce this because I've never heard of him. But let's see. Free delivery on this one.
Okay.
So it's the RM5201. It's basically a skeleton watch. You know what a skeleton watch is?
That's like where you can see the internals.
But yeah, it's literally a skeleton.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a skull.
It's a skull.
Inside there. And I can go, let me go to chrono24.com to look up this watch. Let's see. Free shipping.
All right. Because you're paying an arm and a leg for the dang thing anyway.
This is used.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from New York.
All right.
Manual winding. So it's not even a self-winding watch.
Yeah.
Looks to be good size. Very pretty. I mean, this the craftsmanship in this is fantastic.
Yeah.
But free shipping.
Well,
and it's got the fake clasp on the back to where it looks like it's a belt style, but right, it's got the clasp back there.
See, that's the other thing about a knockoff. In the past, one of the things that I always wanted to do, and I actually did it, was when I went to New York, I had to find a fake Rolex.
Right. I had my best friend Brian do that for me also.
Yeah, and I got one for like $50.
Yeah, he got one for $7. And he wouldn't give it to me because the guy wanted $50 for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian's like, I'll give you $7.
He talked him down to it.
And he talked him down to $7.
Wow. Because I was the chump.
It had started to rain.
Oh, yeah.
And then so like, he's like, hey, it's going to rain all day. You're not going to make any money. $7 is better than nothing.
Yeah.
But this true. One, free shipping on this skull watch. Skull black ceramic. This was made in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also free insured shipping.
Ooh, wow. Okay. So, depending on how much you insure it for.
No, they'll insure it.
Yeah.
When they ship it.
Yeah, but how much are they insuring it for? Are they insuring it for the full price of what the knockoff would be?
No, this is an original.
This is the original.
This is a 2016. It's a used watch.
I got you, got you.
Free shipping on this watch.
And how much is this thing?
1.5 mil.
Holy cow.
Free shipping. You better drive your ass down here and bring it to me.
Yep. No, that's
another one, a manual. They're all manual winding. I mean, if I'm paying $2.7 million for one of these watches, I want automatic.
Yeah, exactly. True. Yeah, my fake Rolex ticked. That was one of the ways you could tell.
How long did it last?
That and it also like turned my arm green.
How long did it last?
Like 6 months. It was not a very good watch. I paid for it as a result, but yeah, I don't even know where the heck
I can
thing
see
is
why
now.
35 of these watches are worth 11.7 mil. Wow. Be right back.
Welcome back to the most exciting morning show in Tallahassee, The Greg Tisch Show, featuring Matty Rowe on Real Talk 93.3.
See any creepy crawlies around your house? Call Paul's.
He'll get them all.
850-386-BUGS. That's 850-386-BUGS. Call them today before nooner. They'll be out today before 5 p.m. That's Paul's Termite and Pest Control. Same day treatment guarantee. So I was looking through my Facebook memories this morning. And today is when 4 years ago, they just said, all right, we're not playing the tournament, ACC tournament.
Right, you're right. Done.
That FSU, I was literally, Bobby Mack and I were meeting out at Hangar to go watch the basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
FSU probably, I mean, they were going to, most likely going to win the tournament, probably best team they had since 1972.
Correct.
And so literally was walking in, had my hand on the door at Hangar.
Right.
see Bobby Mack calls. I was like, oh, he's probably running late.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up phone. They just canceled the tournament, dude.
Oh,
I was like, what?
Gosh.
He goes, yeah, they canceled this COVID thing. And I was like, this is weird. And then a few minutes later, and then a little bit later in that morning, springtime. Mm-hmm. Tallahassee, who will have springtime on tomorrow.
That is correct.
They canceled. And then this is basically 4 years ago. This is basically when everything shut down.
This was when the dominoes started falling.
This is when the dominoes were falling. This is when everything got slammed shut.
Right.
But I remember at Tasty Pastry Bakery, because National Reuben Day was coming up, that I had been prepping these pastrami's, corned beef. And I was like, I talked to Mark. I was like, I bought like 4 pounds, or not 4 pounds. I got like 20 pounds of brisket that I'm about to smoke up to make pastrami. We got to still do this Reuben Day. And he's like, yeah, we'll do it. And it's like the last thing I did that year.
Yeah.
So we went there, and then I remember
you went out on a high note, though.
I remember we're making the Reubens and Tasty Pastry, and people are coming by and getting them and toasting them up. And we had all their griddles and everything out, and I was slicing up, or Mark had sliced up the pastrami, and it was so good. But I remember that was like the first time, like, we had a table, and I would set it down on the table, the sandwich, and then walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And people would go up. It just seems like a lifetime ago. That was a great Florida State basketball team. They won't be making any tournament this year.
Yeah.
Just not having that good of a year. Time for the AP Top 25. Tournaments begin this week. Conference tournaments, NCAA tournament. March Madness is coming up very, very soon. Here we go at number 25. I'm going with, let me scan through really quick. I'm going to give Matt, since he kind of did well yesterday with baseball.
Yeah.
That I'm going to set the over-under at 4.
Basketball and baseball are two different sports, and they don't overlap.
There's a lot of teams that you should get.
When in doubt, Cougars.
No.
No?
Wildcats win in
doubt. Wildcats, yeah. Wildcats are basketball.
Number 25 at 22-9, out of the Big 12, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech is the Raiders. The Red Raiders.
Number 24 out of Ohio in the Atlantic 10 at 24-6. Your Dayton
Flyers.
Number 23 out of Nevada in the Mountain West. Nevada.
Is that the Nevada? That's not the Aggies. That's Wildcats. I don't know. I'm not sure what that one was.
Lobos.
The Lobos.
Out of the Pac-12, 23-8, Washington State.
Washington State, that is not the Huskies. It is the Wildcats.
Number...
Woohoo!
I'm kidding.
Dadgummit, man!
Cougars.
How can you... What? Did you just throw me under the bus for a Cougar?
It's not my fault. You don't know that.
Come on, man.
Number 21 out of the West Coast at 24-7, St. Mary's.
The Gales.
Number 22 out of the Big 12 at 22-9, BYU.
The Tigers. No, it's the...
It's the Cougars, dude.
Cougars. It's not the Cougars.
BYU is the Cougars.
Is it the Cougars?
Yes. Out of the SEC at 21-10, number 19, Alabama.
Crimson Tide.
Number 18 out of the Mountain West at 26-5, Utah State.
That is not the Utes. It is the Aggies?
That is correct. Number 17 out of the West Coast at 24-6, Gonzaga.
The Bulldogs.
Number 16 out of the Big 12 at 22-9, your Kansas.
Jayhawks.
Number 15 out of the SEC, 25-6, South Carolina.
Tri Heels. Oh, no, it's not.
Gamecocks.
Yeah, Gamecocks.
Number 14 out of the Big 12 at 22-9, down three spots, your Baylor.
Bears.
Number 13 out of the Big 10, 23-8, down one spot, your Illinois.
Illini. What? Illinois? Is the line? No, it's the Fighting Irish.
Fighting Illini.
The Fighting Illini.
Yes.
Okay.
Number 12 out of the SEC at 24-7, up one spot after their win at Georgia. It's your Auburn.
Tigers.
Number 11, down two spots, Duke out of the ACC.
Blue Devils.
Number 10 out of the Big East, 23-8, Marquette.
Okay. The Golden Eagles?
Number 9 out of the SEC at 23-8, up 6 spots, Kentucky.
The Wildcats.
Number 8, up 2 spots out of the Big East, 23-8, Creighton.
Blue Jays?
Number 7 out of the Big 12, down 1 spot, Iowa State.
Iowa State, that's the Cyclones?
Number 6 Sweet. Out of the Pac-12, 24-7, your Arizona
Wildcats.
Number 5 down 1 spot, 24-7, your Tennessee
Volunteers.
Number 4 out of the ACC, up 3 spots at 25-6. Ladies and gentlemen, the North Carolina.
North Carolina? Tar Heels? No.
Number 3 yeah. out of the Big 10, not moving a spot. 28-3. The Purdue
Boilermakers.
And number 2 out of the Big East at 28-3, the University of Connecticut,
the Huskies.
And at numero uno out of the Big 12, 28-3, Houston.
Houston. And we did this last week. It's the exact same team. And it is
the Houston's been like in the football, baseball, basketball. They're a very well-known school and you get it wrong.
Is it the Cougars?
Yes, it is.
Sweet! I actually did pretty good this time around.
You missed 4.
Ha-ha!
For me, because I guessed that you would miss 4.
Well, still, that's not bad. That's pretty darn good. How about that?
It's okay.
Now, here's my question. Mm-hmm. Why does Illinois need the adjective on Illini? It's not like they're saying the crocheting Illini. Doesn't work that way.
Illinois Illini.
Yeah. What is an Illini?
Fighting in there.
What? What's an Illini?
Matt Rogers at magicfl.com.
Well, why are they fighting? Can't they be just pacifists? I mean, I'm sure there's all sorts of other things. You're looking up what an Illini is, aren't you?
No, I'm going to tell you.
But with an Illini, whatever that may be, you can always have a different.
What do you
adjective.
Think Illini are? Who do you think Illini?
The happy Illini.
Who do you think Illini are?
I'm sure that there's some sort of a warrior or something like that. And that would be redundant, wouldn't it? Because they're always fighting if they're warriors of some sort.
They were tribes.
The
tribes. 12 or 13 tribes.
Okay. So, yeah.
It was the Illiwick, Illinois Confederation,
mm-hmm.
made up of 12 to 13 tribes that lived in the Mississippi River Valley.
All right. So they're the Illini. But they don't have, they could be the prosperous Illini.
Well, the Gators are the fighting Gators.
Yeah. But Gators are also, I mean, that just goes along with the territory.
But the Illini doesn't?
Not necessarily.
Fighting Reg Hawks? Do you want like the lay down?
How about the noble Illini?
Okay, I'm not going to get pumped up. Who are we playing this weekend? We're playing the Noble Illini.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Or not righteous. I was going to say the righteous Illini. I mean, I guess fighting Illini would be good, but
That's what it is.
I think the name says itself. It speaks for itself. The Illini.
So Wake Forest Deacons?
Deacon Demons.
Demon Deacons.
Demon Deacons. Yeah.
They could just bend the Deacons. Hello, welcome to our basketball court. Why don't you come over here and sit down? We got a nice seat for you over here. Here's the collection plate.
Sounds like they're in Utah or something.
But the Demon Deacon, so much better.
Well, I don't know about that either. Then you're just like, letter, letter, letter. I don't know. I think that the fighting is not really necessary. I mean,
it's a sports team.
Yeah.
It's very necessary.
But you're battling, you know? I mean,
So the battling Illini?
Yeah, sure. That could be good. Why not? There's so many different adjectives that could describe the Illini anyway. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't always have
fighting
to be fighting.
Is good. I want my team to have fight in them. Be right back.
Going to be away from the radio? Be sure to listen on realtalk93.com or download our Real Talk 93.3 app today. You're listening to Real Talk 93.3, The Greg Tisch Show, with Matty Rowe behind the glass.
Paul's Termite Pest Control is our sponsor this half hour. If you see any of the Paul's Termite Pest Control vehicles around town today, safely take a picture of them. Post it on the socials with the hashtag #FoundPauls. You'll win a prize. If you want a guarantee, huh?
Nothing. I thought you were saying call Paul's.
If you want a guarantee you'll see a Paul's Termite Pest Control vehicle, call Paul's.
He will get them all.
850-386-BUGS. That's 850-386-BUGS. Call them today before noon. They'll be out today before 5 p.m.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was a definitive call Paul's or not.
People from all over the country round up during the first weeks of spring to celebrate their spring break.
Woo-hoo!
During college or just to get away and have fun.
Mm-hmm. Of course, with all of the limitations that they're putting down south, basically telling the spring breakers they don't want them, apparently the spring break kids are just like, we don't care. We're still going to do it. They're getting out there going crazy.
Spring breakers encourage each other to get lost in the moment at the beach in Fort Lauderdale. So the U.S. sun celebrated by sunbathing in the water and ripping shots. Partiers were seeing doing beer bongs.
And that's ripping beer bongs.
Yeah, it's just like chugging beer bongs.
Yeah.
Chugging mixed drinks out of jugs, beer pong, and straight up shots of Patron tequila. Others were dancing, playing frisbee, throwing footballs, kicking soccer balls, and even wrestling matches.
Mm-hmm.
In dramatic footage, a group of mostly men was also seen gathered around two guys having a full-blown wrestling match in the sand. Despite the intensity of the battle and the rowdy celebrations for the winner, the crowd quickly showed their camaraderie as they began a second bout.
All right, so they had a multi-card.
Yeah, I saw one with some big-time, you know, fight. I don't know where it was, but just girls ripping off wigs, just woo! Huge fight.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a rite of passage. And it's just like, go out and have fun. Just don't be stupid.
True, true.
And then I know that Miami Beach is trying to shut everybody down, but it ain't working.
Not so much.
So the city got slammed for them breaking up with spring break as woke Karens from the ad.
I don't think it's woke Karens. It's just that they're just tired of having all their stuff messed up. They're tired of having this stigma of having kids running around like crazy people down in their town.
In Mexico, they just said this is their travel advisory. This is how it began. Be smart.
Yeah.
Travel smart.
Oh, yeah. Down in Mexico?
Crime, drugs, assault, and drowning were just 4 of the 10 different warnings that the U.S. Embassy issued to travelers.
Yeah.
Travelers should maintain a high level of situational awareness, avoid areas where illicit activities occur, and promptly depart from potential dangerous situations.
Yeah, in Mexico, you stay on the resort. You don't go out into the town. It's a bad idea. Just stay in the resort. You'll have a wonderful time. You can do belly button shots, and you can play like the beach pickleball, whatever you want.
Matt is so old. What did we do back in the day?
You had those big ice luges where you could take the shots from off the top. Fun times, you know? But no, you don't go into town in Mexico. That's a terrible idea.
Well, this girl and her 3 friends, they decided to, this is last year, that they decided to go to Florida for spring break.
All right.
And so they boarded their plane and flew to Florida. And then as they got on the plane, they screamed, spring break!
Oh, no. And? Did they get kicked off?
No. They didn't go to Miami Beach.
Oh.
They went about an hour north of Miami to Hillsborough Beach.
Hillsborough Beach.
It's a retirement community. We chose to skip the ragers and bad behavior associated with spring break, especially in Miami. And so we decided to go to a retirement community.
Hmm.
The small beach town we stayed in was mostly populated by people in their 60s and above. Even the tourists we saw were rarely under 50.
So my friends
showed up and checked into the hotel. They received more than a few confused glances. You sure you're in the right place? Aren't you heading to Miami? But we explained our plan for a relaxing getaway. We're often met with understanding. That's when we met our coastal grandma.
Mm-hmm. This was what I was about to say. I bet they had an amazing time. They probably found somebody's gam-gam who made sure that they had food every single day and we're hanging out at the beach, just enjoying the Mai Tais and just having a grand old time.
When we weren't soaking up the sun, we played car games and bananagrams and ventured into the very tame downtown area for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Since we slept, we were steps away from the quiet beach, we traded in late hungover mornings for early alarms to watch the sunrise. God, this is gorgeous.
Oh, that sounds great.
On these many mornings, we are joined by a new friend, a retired woman who was traveling alone and missing her grandkids back home.
Aww.
We enjoyed the sunrises together and watched local conservation workers on ATVs protecting hatching sea turtles as they migrated to the water. If we were hungover on a crowded beach like Miami, we'd have missed out on forming this unlikely friendship that crossed generational divides. Throughout our trip, we spent time with many older tourists and hospitality workers. Once they realized we weren't obnoxious, havoc wrecking spring breakers, they are more than willing to share their times and stories with us.
Of course.
After a week in our little slice of heaven, it was time to head back. In our Uber to the airport at 5 a.m., our driver told us he'd come straight from a night of driving around Miami, and he had horror stories. He told us he was surprised by our choice for an alternate spring break, but he understood. He'd seen many arrests, sick students, and lost young people in spring break driving career, the Uber guy said.
Yep.
We boarded our plane north. We were reunited with our peers who had the clammy, tired looks that only hangovers can bring.
Reinvigorated. Everyone was like just gray and red.
Reinvigorated from our week of R&R, my friends and I listened to their wild tales from Miami while exchanging knowing glances. We made the right choice. Our spring break perhaps wasn't traditional, but it was just what we needed.
It's a smart idea, man. I mean, back in the day, sure, it was fun to go to Panama City. It was fun to go to Daytona. But as I got a little bit older, I would go to Pensacola instead, just because it was that area where it was still fun, but it wasn't as crazy as some of the other places. And they have the beautiful beaches. It was just a nice, relaxing place to sort of hang, especially for your spring break. It was good. So I can understand
take,
that
100%. I would take Alligator Point over Panama City. Heck, I would have. Oh, yeah. So we did in high school. Terry probably did the same thing.
I concur. Yeah,
like, I would take quiet and sunrise.
Mm-hmm. Waking up at the crack of dawn, walking out on the beach.
But that's not true.
You're not tripping over people drunk on the beach. Things like that.
Yeah, that would have been me.
You would have been the one waking up.
No, I'm going to be passed out on
next
the beaches,
to a burnt out bonfire.
10 o'clock in the morning.
I think I got crabs. No, like the real crabs.
I don't know or not.
Fiddler crabs.
That was smart of them because they're taking their spring break to relax.
Truth.
And not to do the same thing that they do every single weekend in a different location, spending lots of money.
And now they have a place to stay next year because you know the Graham Graham's got like the awesome. She's got the spare bedroom with the doilies and that little doll that sits on top of the toilet paper in the bathroom. That is going to be magical. So, and they get to eat early and go over to the Shoney's. Like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get their food on, get some really good early bird specials on beverages, maybe some karaoke.
This man does not have a smile on his face.
He does not, but it's working. It's working. Literally, it just has to be push the button.
Put a smile on this man's face. Make that coffee.
I will.
Be right back.
Let's take a look at your total comfort traffic from Berno Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right, got a disabled vehicle, exit 203 eastbound. Also, we've got an accident at Capitol Circle Northeast and Miccosukee. And also still showing that accident at Blairstone and Appalachie Parkway. If you do see anything, give Maddie Rowe a call, 850-386-8255. That's 850-386-8255. Sponsors half hour. If you're craving delicious food served with a side of fun, look no further than the Blue Halo. Our chefs create mouth-watering dishes packed with bold flavors and fresh ingredients, guaranteed to satisfy your cravings. From sizzling steaks to fresh seafood, they got something for everyone. And don't forget their signature cocktails and happy hour. Best happy hour in town, weekdays from 5 to 7. Visit us today at the Blue Halo at Bannerman Crossings. Come for the food, stay for the vibe.
Check this out.
Live from the Grassroots Coffee Studios in the city of Tallahassee. It's the Greg Tish Show, featuring Maddie Rowe behind the glass. Today's show is brought to you by QC Kinetics, Paul's Termite and Pest Control, Hearth and Patio, Southeast Portable Buildings, Infinity of Tallahassee, Kraft Nissan, and Blue Halo. And now, it's not that Terry is odd. He just can't even. Dana Brooks, Terry Madigan. It's a real conversation, only on The Greg Tish Show.
All right, that one was one for Terry.
That was cute.
Good morning, Dana. Okay. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
All right. As I was driving home yesterday, I saw that Northeast Library was setting up for early voting.
Good. I need to.
And then, for what?
Beat the rush.
There's nothing for you to vote for.
I'm out of town.
There's nothing for you to vote for.
I can vote.
You're not registered Republican. Only registered Republicans can vote.
We can't vote?
Nope.
There's no Democrat ballot at all?
Nope. The Florida Democratic Party has suppressed your votes.
That's right. They shut down all the others.
And they have
Phillips.
said it's only Biden.
Yeah.
And then they're
very Democratic. They don't want you to be confused.
Yeah, but you could vote or not vote.
No,
correct?
It's only Republicans.
I didn't realize that.
Only the GOP will be voting.
We have a lot of people on the ballot, but only one is still running.
It's the full slate that's still on there.
So, I guess you could vote for them. They'll count. I think that's the only reason that anybody would go out.
It's either going to be the hardcore Republicans, the hardcore Trump Republicans, or the anti-Trump Republicans, which is not many of.
You mean the rational people.
The ones that will go out and probably vote for DeSantis, the show.
The level-headed people still left in that party.
But I was like, early voting, you know, what is this? What's going on? And then, because I'm NPA, yeah. So I wouldn't have gotten the information. I'm sure you got voting information, Terry.
I did. Okay. Yeah, I got the sample ballot and all that. We're spending a lot of money for nothing. That was my thought, too.
Only one candidate still out there,
yeah,
with former President Trump. Is this something that?
But at the time,
they have to do this.
Well, they do. I mean, mm-hmm. That's it. I say it's a waste of money. It is, but there's no way around it because at the time they qualified for the ballot, you know, that was what, a couple months ago, and all these people were still out there. I mean, Asa Hutchinson, I think, is on it. So you got to go through with it. But I do think it's interesting how the Dems. I mean, I give them credit; they saved us money by squelching democracy, which, you know, that's par for the course.
Well, do you think that it might be
a fact? I've heard that that's what they want to do in November, is put Trump in jail and only vote for Biden, and democracy will be saved.
Who told you that?
So your sample ballot is Ryan Binkley, Chris Christie, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Asa Hutchinson, and Vivek Ramaswamy. And Donald J. Trump. I heard him last night.
I thought we were done with him. His voice is he's like that friend of yours that has that precocious child that will always bring to adult functions, and you have to look at him like, why do you keep bringing this kid around? That's how he is. His voice grates on my last nerve.
Vivek, he needs a little seasoning. He's a smart kid.
He needs a spanking.
He needs to grow up.
I was growing up, kids like that needed spankings to know how to act around adults.
So there'll be there's nothing that Mark Early's office can do about this or the other 66 counties besides us. They're doing all this, and that there's 54,000 registered Republicans in Leon County. I think that's 54,463, 99,000 Democrats, and 43,540 would total 197,066 registered voters in Leon County out of the.
I wonder how many eligible voters there are who are not registered and don't participate.
About out of the 300,000 that we have in the metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly I was thinking. So
that's about par. I mean, about half the people who could vote.
Yeah, I mean, 200,000, that's a pretty good number.
Or registered to vote, and then of them, what, a quarter?
And then how many of the people that are registered to vote?
So how truly representative is anybody who's elected?
This was updated just a few minutes ago. Already 5,250 people voted yesterday throughout all the precincts.
Okay, so we have, it's a week of early, because is it next Tuesday is the official day? Correct, I think so. So we have a full week of early voting.
It runs through Sunday.
Okay.
So, right. Runs...
it runs through Sunday, then March, Tuesday.
Tuesday, yep. Yep. So, because you don't have early voting the day before. So, but yeah, the deadline to request a mail-in ballot has already gone. And I think also the time to change your party registration, I think that's already done, too.
Oh, Terry, that's too bad.
I mean, I can't switch over to be a Democrat now and not vote?
That is correct.
We still won't have you. We're going to keep rejecting your application.
So I'm looking at...
You've done too much damage.
With the precincts that, you know, you have some precincts that four voters, one precinct, one voter. This is early voting. So you have all these people.
Well, the precincts aren't all open, just designated places, isn't it? I mean, like the library and they're not running all the precincts all
week. Don't they just allow it at the libraries and the courthouse maybe?
Okay, perfect. Yeah, the precincts are no. Okay, good, good. I was thinking that the precincts
are open. They don't man all Thank those.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay. But is this some Terry? Are you going to go and cast your vote for Donald Trump?
I'm gonna vote for somebody. You know,
don't embarrass him by asking in the primary.
Or is it just not worth it?
I think it's worth it. And I'm honest. I mean, you know, Trump will be our nominee whether he's in or out of jail, depending on what the Dems can do to undermine democracy. But yeah, I think there will be some people that go out and vote for Nikki Haley and some of the others now, just to say, hey, Donald. Don't assume everything. There'll be those that will go out and vote for Trump as a show of support. You know, I could see a political statement either way. But I'm pretty sure that Trump will prevail on the ballot and there will be no surprise. I mean, I don't think if Nikki Haley beats him, it'll make any difference because she suspended her campaign. So she can't come back.
It might be interesting
to see if there's any showing there. Just same as on Super Tuesday, if, you know, how that works.
Is that so it was 4,300 mail ballots, and then 947 did the early voting. So far with Sunday through today, but I just don't see. I mean, again, there's nothing that they can do to say, all right, we don't need to do this because you already have your presumptual nominee with former President Trump, and you already have it on the Democratic side with President Biden. But the Florida Democratic Party said, nope, we're not going to have ours that he's the guy, and we're going to go with that.
There's something un-American about that. I mean, you know, Biden got beat in the American Samoa primary. That's true.
The local guy.
He lost. I mean, so he's not.
How many delegates?
Unbeatable.
Can you get any delegates from those? I mean, surely you must, or they wouldn't let them vote. Puerto Rico and some of these other places. Do they have delegates?
Yeah, American Samoa is like 34. It was something.
Well, they got some weird. I mean, one of them has they have delegates can go to their party conventions, but
they have delegates. But do they have electoral votes?
But the people can't actually vote.
Do they have electoral votes?
That's what
I meant. I was saying delegates.
I don't think they have electoral votes, and I don't think the people in some of these actually get to vote.
That would have to be a hollow pursuit. I don't think I would want to be involved politically in those areas with such a limited voice.
Dana Brooks, Terry Madigan in studio. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Dana and Terry on the Greg Tish Show. Dana Brooks, Terry Madigan, Real Conversations on Real Talk 93.3.
In studio with us, Dana Brooks and Terry Madigan. So the legislature is done for this year. Lots of things thrown through. One of them, strippers got to be 21 now.
Strippers have to be 21 now? What about the age of the people who get to
go to the bars?
Yeah.
18, so I believe.
I'm sorry.
It's a bar. You have to be 21 to go in.
But some of them, don't they let you go in as long as you're not drinking?
I don't know. I've never been to a strip club in Florida. I've only been in Georgia.
I think the only way to do that, if it's got the food license, you know.
Like Cafe Risque?
I don't know if they have a food license.
Does Cafe Risque down again? So they have...
Why are you asking, Matt?
I know that logistics, when it was here in Tallahassee, that's how they got around it. They skirted the issue by putting food on the...
Well, they also skirted the issue of nobody can be topless by going bottomless.
Right, that's the other
and then that. So yeah. they were open for, 10 minutes?
Yeah. Exactly.
Making smarter mice.
There's, ma'am, my soup. There's something in my soup. But, I think that the social media one that they did some, I think that one was going to be vetoed.
Has he signed everything in that was going through?
They twisted it, right? Back, yeah. I don't know where it ended up, you know, to be honest with you.
I thought the last thing they passed was you had to be 16, but if you were 14 and 15, your parents could consent.
Okay, that's exactly
that
what
right?
this says.
Is that what
it is? Okay. Yeah, if it gets the governor's expected signature, Floridians younger than 16 will be banned.
You got to understand, some kids make money off that those platforms for real. And you know, that's a way for them to, you know, start their adult life without money from their kids. And some, yeah. Well, yeah, but I think that always needs to be watched.
And if you do it through TikTok, you're supporting the Chinese Communist Party at the same time. So it's a twofer.
So all the bill
make money, support commies.
But I don't know how. Again, we talked about this with Thomas. How do you stop that?
I know I've got friends. I thank God every day that I didn't have to deal with this. But I have a lot of friends who believe that they monitor their children's behavior very, very closely. But you know, kids know what burner phones are.
Yeah.
They know what
how to make emails.
They know it better than you do. So, and I always tell people, your proximity is not the same as supervision, because they can be right next to you and be talking to a predator on their phone. You don't know that. Or they could be in the car behind you, you know, whenever you're driving down the road and it's a real quiet car and everybody's very happy when you're going to Disney World because everybody's on their devices and got their headphones on.
But you're not.
You have no idea what's being piped into their little brains, who they're talking to and who those people are. They think they're talking to their buddies or somebody finally understands them. No, it's not. It's somebody out to do them harm.
So also they passed a bill authorizing school districts and charter schools to adopt a policy for chaplains to provide support, services, and programs to students.
Is that what that guy's trying to work around, the devil-worshipping guy is going to try to get in there?
I mean, yeah.
You're going to have that.
Yeah, the same guy that had...
That's a really good idea to keep religion out of schools. Teach it. I think you ought to definitely teach it so people can understand how the world works and why so many people get hurt. Not advocate for any particular type of it.
But these chaplains in school, they're not advocating. They're just like a chaplain.
Why do you need a chaplain? You need a nurse in a school. You need a mental health counselor who is not just trying to get you into college.
That's basically what some of these chaplains are.
But there's so many
mental health counselors.
Baloney. That's grade A baloney. Grade A baloney.
No,
those kind of people, if they're people who think they can only get counseling from a religious entity, they probably are already wrapped up in a church anyway. Let them go do that offline. But in a school where my kids could be exposed to it, I want to see somebody who is a mental health trained professional who is not going to be informed by any sort of religious doctrine at all, who is going to provide them information and counseling so they don't do things like take their lives or bully other people or subject them. Because that's what chaplains tend to do. Listen, don't get religion in the middle of that.
I'm just thinking, I mean, growing up in a church and everything.
You can go to church anytime you want to. That's offline.
I don't want anybody.
But we're talking about tax dollars.
School.
We're talking about spending. We're talking about education. And that needs to be separate entirely. But we need to have people who are available for these children in the schools who are not solely looking at what kind of funding the school is going to get based on what kind of grades that kid gets, how many days of attendance they've had and where they're going to go to college or trade school or if they're going to be placed. We need people to actually help them with the problems that they have existing in this very new weird world that none of us grew up in.
Mm-hmm. Because I was just saying that little church me and little school me mm-hmm. were completely different people. Yeah. I don't want anybody from my church and my school just see me acting.
The church is a personal decision. If you're into that, do it on your side.
Do it. Speaking of which,
your way, but don't bring that to the school.
Leon County Children's Services Council is going to spend $1.7 million on summer programs. Now, my question is how much is the overhead that we're spending on this bureaucracy in order to distribute $1.7 million.
I want to know that, and I also want to know what the outcomes are going to be.
Or can they project?
You should be able to say, if you give me this money, this is what I'm going to get, because you don't get any more money if you don't reach those outcomes. So that's the way it ought to be working.
They're handing it out to like a dozen 11. Different programs. Yeah.
Right, well, that's how you're going to get it. It's like, if you ever paid attention to how your food bank works, people don't just show up at the food bank and get food. That's distributed through... a lot of them are churches, but there are a lot of community centers, churches, or whatever. There's 10, 20 depots for the kind of thing that gets distributed. It should be no different there, but you've got to get children. You can't lose them in the summer. They lose too much of what we've already paid to educate them on. They have to be retaught, and that's not efficient. If they're not eating and they're not being supervised in the summer, then they're not going to show back up in school, and they're not going to be able to read, and they're not going to have it. They're not going to be able to learn if they can't eat.
On top of existing programs. But my big beef with this,
I was still talking.
My problem with this is always has been, is we've had added in a layer of bureaucracy with this. And I don't see it just really – there's no way. We're not – despite what the advertisement said, we're not going to end poverty in Leon County in 10 years with this program. Pouring more money into some of these same things, I don't know if that's going to do – particularly if you're just – if you're spreading it out 10 different ways, is it really going to make that big of an impact? And what is the extra cost bureaucracy-wise to do it?
I would look at what's been submitted for those very purposes.
If something's not working, we put more money into it. This is just another prime example of it.
I would look at what was proposed and what money they got and what they were supposed to do with it and what the outcomes were supposed to be and whether they
met
them.
But we've always done that. We did this with the United Way. We did it with the county program.
You're not doing it now.
No. Nope.
You're just talking about it as if you know. You don't. Look at what they're...
We had the funding source in the county. This took a program that was already in existence and just set it up in its own bureaucracy and pumped more tax money into it. We had this, you know, we had it a community based, and the government stepped in and took it over. We had the count, whatever the county program was that was doing it, and then we spun this off to create new jobs, you know, new bureaucracy, you know, buildings, expenses, and everything to basically do the same thing. And we had no results.
Says Terry.
That's so. Look it up.
What's the amount of money? It was 1.7. 1.7, and this is going for 1,000 kids.
Yeah.
And then so with 11 programs, and then the programs that got it were evaluated and they scored at least 75% or higher based on their budgets. The highest getting $240,000 and the lowest getting $31,000. But also they're giving out money to Leon County high schoolers that they commit to work for 6 to 8 weeks during the summer and they'll be paid $15 an hour.
I saw that you get an intern.
I like that. Yeah. What did they decide to do with that child labor law thing? Did that go through? Did they change any of the rules?
Oh, for
on
the
that?
16-year-olds being able to work longer hours?
It had to do with what kind of work they could do. Like they wanted them back being able to work on farms and stuff like that.
Roofing and things like that.
They're basically trying to say,
listen, if you can't let us have the immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
We in the construction and agriculture firm need agile, young, healthy workers. And if you're not going to give us the people who are literally risking their lives and the lives of people they love to have that opportunity here, because you know the people from here, raised here, ain't going to do it. So now, instead of fixing our immigration policy, we're going to hurt our children. Okay.
But we're okay hurting immigrants.
Okay. Let's have some more of the leadership we're having now that says that's a great idea.
So the council also approved a budget of $375,000 to fund scholarships that allow students with disabilities to participate in programs for up to 2 weeks to support not just the students with special needs, but also their families.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that. So they can also connect with their peers and offer families some respite, because when you're caring for a special needs child, it can be very taxing.
For sure.
As their kids go on vacation, that's where mom and dad.
When I was a political social worker, one of the things you learn is that there are certain problems that people have that it's really the people who are taking care of them that you can treat, that you can make the difference for.
Yeah. Y'all enjoy your day. Thank you so much. You enjoy your coffee?
Happy Tuesday. It was good.
Good.
It was good.
Jamie McClinney covers your assets when we get back.
Seem like everything good is bad, and everything bad is good.
You better cover your assets with Jamie McClenny on Real Talk 93.3.
Taking a break from all these spring break shenanigans to leave the beach, Jamie McClenny in with us. How is it down there?
It's a little more crowded than it normally is, that's for sure.
Carrie said that the Tiki Hut was a little crazy on Sunday with everybody ordering their virgin daiquiris.
We almost went over there, and then it... good
dawned
sense kicked
you
in. It's like, no, that's probably not the time to be there.
I remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, I was down there on spring break, and they literally stopped selling virgin daiquiris. No more. And I'm like, just up the price $2.
Exactly.
And they did. It didn't stop.
Nope.
It didn't stop. I mean, because it's supply and demand.
Sure.
I mean, it's the same thing with the stocks and the same thing with gold, with silver. But what's happening in the world of high finance?
Well, Greg, one of the most disturbing things I've seen in quite a while came out last week. It was a financial report of the United States government for February. And the estimate that the financial position of Social Security and Medicare are underfunded by over $175
trillion. Trillion.
And a lot of people will say, well, that's just conspiracy stuff. The Treasury Secretary, Madam Janet Yellen, signed the report. So there's got to be something to it. And that amount's unfathomable. Here's two examples for context. The gross GDP for the entire global economy was only $104 trillion last year.
Global.
So you're about 70% higher than that. $175 trillion is nearly as much as the federal government has spent on everything since the Constitution was drafted in 1787, even adjusted for inflation. So this has to stop. It's got to stop. There was mixed data during the week. Counterpoint Research says iPhone sales in China fell 24% over the first 6 weeks of this year. That's not really that surprising, knowing what's going on with the Chinese economy. On Wednesday, the former darling of the small banking crisis comeback, New York Community Bank, shares have fallen 80%, hit 30-year lows, dropping from about $14 down to around $2. This could be the tip of a very large iceberg as the Federal Reserve scheduled to end the bank term funding program this month, as delinquency rates for small banks recently hit 7.8%, the highest on record. Thursday, we always talk about the new labor numbers. While the real-world labor market continues to face myriad challenges, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which has become the mouthpiece for the current administration, said that first-time jobless claims were essentially flat at 217,000. And then the labor report that really got people up in arms was Friday, when the BLS said that a whopping 275,000 jobs were added, when expectations were for 200,000. A big piece of that, if you go back to January, we talked about the big blowout number back then. That was conveniently revised down from 353,000 to 229,000.
That's a huge
30,
number down.
35% revision. Wow. So that's what's happening. They're publishing
these
big
numbers and going,
and then come back to, no, just
when
kidding. Nobody's paying attention. Exactly right.
Well, how about domestic equities?
Well, we saw another record close for the S&P 500 on Thursday, but then we had a pullback on Friday, and the broader index ended down about a quarter point on the week. The Dow was down about 85 basis points, so almost 1%. The tech sector, even though NVIDIA has surged over 80% year-to-date, added a stunning $1 trillion in market cap in the year. Had a pullback Friday, had a pullback yesterday. The tech sector ended down a little over 1% on the week. The small caps on the Russell 2000 were the sole winner. They were up about 34 basis points.
Okay, what about across the pond?
It was Katie Barr, the doors over there. The EFI index, which is the developed economies, was up 2.5%. Emerging markets were up about 1.25%. So a lot of bad macro data on both sides, but the markets just keep on chugging along.
All right, fixed income?
Treasury yields fell again. The yield on the 2-year closed at 4.48%. The 10-year closed down at 4.07%. The 10-year German Bund dropped about 15 basis points to close at a little over two and a quarter. So,
oh boy,
we're seeing the bond market rates falling as investors are paying premiums for them. So, it's all predicated on this anticipated rate increase from the Federal Reserve, which was supposed to happen in March. Now they're saying May. Now they're saying the second half of the year. So who knows? We'll see.
Just pushing that back and pushing that back. Speaking of not pushing back, they didn't seem to push back on gas prices last week. I mean, my $50 didn't get me as far as usual. What's up with commodities?
Well, crude was actually down, but prices at the pump locally jumped significantly at many places. 20, 25 cents a gallon I saw from at some outlets. WTI closed at 78.01, which was down about $2 a barrel. Saw a huge surge in the precious metal space. Spot gold closed up for 9 consecutive days, setting multiple record highs, and closed at 21.86. Silver also had a good week. It was up over $1 an ounce to close at 24.31. Bitcoin briefly topped 70,000 in a volatile week before pulling back to close at $68,581. So just a lot of activity in crypto right now.
It's legitimately insane. I mean, it keeps going up. I think the kids are calling that hodling or something like that. Where is this headed? I mean, I have how much higher can this stupid thing go?
I have a different terminology for it than that. But well, based on yesterday's pricing, Bitcoin is worth more than the entire global silver market.
Jeez.
And it's got the eighth largest market cap in the world. Not to be outdone, Ethereum's valuation surpassed that of Walmart, who is generally regarded as the world's largest retailer. Hmm. The total crypto ecosystem's value exceeds $2.8 trillion. That's higher than Apple, guys.
Jeez.
Higher than Apple. In many aspects, this looks like a bubble by any other previous definition, but who's to say right now?
Didn't we have the bubble burst? When was it that that Bitcoin burst?
It burst somewhere around the 60s, a couple of years back.
Yeah, it was back in 2000 was when the bottom fell out, okay. 2000, 2021.
And it dropped like a stone.
Like
when
a
that
rock. Like a rock.
Yeah.
It lost about half of its valuation, if my memory serves me correctly.
That would have been the time to get in, huh? So we got historically high valuations, wars and rumors of war combined with other geopolitical volatility, recurring inflation, challenging interest rate environment. What can investors do to protect their retirement savings?
Well, despite surface-level prosperity, there are a lot of concerns. Let's look at NVIDIA, which is, in many ways has become the stock market. If you plot NVIDIA on a chart 2020 to today versus Cisco 1996 to 2002, then zoom in on the year 2000 when the dot-com bubble burst, you'll see a lot of eerie similarities. The J.P. Morgan had a really good analysis of that last week. This is a company that midweek before the pullback on Friday was worth more than AT&T, Boeing, Coca-Cola, Disney, FedEx, General Motors, IBM, McDonald's, Nike, Starbucks, UPS and Walmart combined.
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 Jeez.
Global financial markets have ignored the record-breaking increase in global debts, which are now at $313 trillion. People need to dial into this. Since 2009, repeated monetary interventions combined with zero interest rate policies have led many investors to dismiss any notion of valuation. Therefore, investors reason the indicators wrong since there's not been an immediate correlation between it. Let's step back a minute and look at one of our favorite people to quote, Warren Buffett. Berkshire Hathaway is currently perched on a $160 billion war chest in cash. Here's one of the most intelligent investors in history sitting on enough cash to outright buy or obtain a controlling interest in many companies on the S&P 500. But he's sitting on the sideline because of valuations. He can't find any acquisition targets that he thinks are reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. Investors have been trained by Wall Street to always remain fully invested, ignoring valuations and other historic measures just because of the FOMO, the fear of missing out. The level of greed we're seeing is on full display because the S&P 500 is trading at one of the most significant deviations on record from its long-term exponential trend. You need to ask yourself, is it really going to be different this time? This bull market rally, which began in October, has been absolutely breathtaking, and it's been predicated on the hope of potential benefits of AI, think NVIDIA, and the Fed cutting interest rates multiple times in 2024. Say it all the time, hope's not an investment strategy.
Nope.
We have a saying at our firm, buy and hold works really well until it doesn't, and once it stops working, it's often too late to protect invested capital. Markets are going to do what they're going to do. So managing that downside risk in your portfolio is one of the biggest challenges investors face. If you're concerned about where all this might be headed, give us a call and come in and let's talk about the risk in your portfolio. You can call me at 850-900-5200 and set up a time to come in.
Make Jamie your first call for that second opinion. Good seeing you, brother.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Can't wait to see you next week and find out how my boond is doing. Investment advisory services offered through Check Financial, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Time to refill that coffee. We'll be right back with the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
We define local radio because Merriam-Webster hasn't added it to their dumb word book yet. It's the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3.
From a 4x8 to a 40x80, Southeast Portable Buildings has you covered. Give them a call, 850-580-6400, or visit them online at Facebook.
That's right.
Where they're giving away a free 8x10 building, not just one they have sitting around. You'll be able to fully customize this to the colors you want, whether you want aluminum frame or a wooden frame. So just jump on, give their Facebook page a like, look for their giveaway, and give that a like also.
Staying on that for just a moment, I have been having to look around at other places to store stuff. I may just want to find someplace where I can put a portable building because the prices on that right now are insane. So Southeast Portable Buildings will definitely get you taken care of. That's an important part of that because looking for storage myself, it's a hard thing to do, especially if you have a place where you can put it. Oh, fantastic.
So Goodwill has an auction site, and it's becoming a little more popular. I bought many things off this site.
Mm-hmm.
And so it also makes it tougher to find anything like decent in the stores because they're pulling, like locally, they're pulling everything, and it's a huge warehouse. Not a huge warehouse, but
right.
Good-sized warehouse that they have. Like sure. Our local Goodwill has 18 pages worth of stuff that on the auction site. And some of these are going for pretty good prices.
Gotcha.
But yeah. A lot of the jewelry that's turned in that people may not just know what they're giving away.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got stuff that's going for hundreds and a couple of them that reached in the $1,000 marks. So somebody had donated something to Goodwill. And it was in a bag of jewelry. And
okay.
It was just a small little mask, which is a Lego piece.
Okay, like a Lego piece.
Yeah, sure. And it's a mask. It's a Kanhoi Hai mask.
Oh, okay.
And it comes from a now discontinued collection. And this arrived at a Goodwill in Pennsylvania, and they didn't think anything of it.
All right.
It just came in a little old-looking Lego box.
Yeah.
So the Bionicle line ran for 9 years with a short revival in 2015. This is from Lego. It gained a loyal fan base known for their intricate backstories. The characters came from a fictional island. They were closer to action figures than traditional Legos.
Correct.
Their mm-hmm. ball and socket. You've heard of this?
My kids love Bionicle. Okay.
And their ball and socket joints allowed for a wide range of movement. Well, Lego created 30 of these golden masks and released during a 2001 giveaway in the Bionicle universe. The mats grant protective powers to the wearer, and the golden mass powers is especially strong. There were 25 that were given away, and 5 remained for people who actually worked at Lego. And so 23 years later, one of these had resurfaced. However, Goodwill staffers didn't know when they first listed the mask on Shop Goodwill. They priced it at $14.95.
I'm guessing it probably was not $14.95.
Very apparent soon after when it went live, when offers started pouring in. We didn't know it was worth anything until people started asking if they could buy it for $1,000.
Uh-oh.
In late February, Goodwill put the piece up for auction. One bidder offered $33,000, but ultimately failed to produce the funds.
Oh, wow.
So when they put the mask back up on the site, that they stayed up all night watching the sale and confirming that the bids were legitimate, because that's one of the problems I have with Shop Goodwill. eBay,
mm-hmm.
I trust the bids there a little bit more. But there was a time that I was losing these at the last second.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, that's going to happen.
True.
But I was like, are these just these employees at these stores trying to bump up the prices?
Maybe.
So the 1-inch tall mask may be the most expensive Lego piece ever sold.
Ever.
A 14-karat gold, solid gold Lego brick went for $15,000 back in 2020.
Okay.
So this piece now, it sold the $33,000 the guy couldn't come up with. They put it back on, and it was a legit $18,101.
Whoa.
And it kind of looks like, if you're familiar with the Star Wars universe, kind of looks like Kylo Ren's mask.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is that it was $18,101.
Mm-hmm. Somebody beat out.
Somebody was putting up a buck.
Yep. And that's what it does, that you can go in, and it'll do the same thing, bid up to. So, like, I'll put in, like, if I see something, I'll put in my highest bid. All right, I'll pay $20 for that.
Right.
But I put in, like, weird amounts.
Gotcha.
I put in, like, $23.62 if I only want to pay $20 for it.
Just for that.
Because
reason.
Everybody does even numbers. Mm-hmm. And you can just screw with it. I just love screwing with the other bidders.
Right.
Especially the ones that try to come in at the last second. Well, I bid $22. Nope, you need to bid more. And then just to try to get them up a little bit.
Right. True. If you're not getting it, you're going to make sure that anybody else is getting it for more.
So all the money will go back to support Goodwill, help provide jobs and training opportunities. This auction site, and I've been just hesitant to talk about it for months because I don't want everybody knowing about it, but but everybody knows about it now, and it's just, Jay's going to take me over. Jay Revel's going to take me over because he does work with Goodwill, and to go look through everything, and just, it's amazing.
Right.
It's just the stuff that is donated
mm-hmm.
is amazing.
It is surprising just how much people are willing to pay for things like that.
No, too. It's just, well, it's that people get rid of. And I was, when mm-hmm. I was cleaning up my house yesterday, I was like, okay, I need to start marking all these.
Right.
And what they are, because nobody's going to give a rat's butt after I die about some of the stuff that I have.
Mm-hmm.
That this is just for me. And that's why I've also started doing my spring cleaning where I've got a lot of stuff up that I'm selling because I just look at it. Well, I get encouraged also. What are you doing with all this stuff?
Right.
Who sees this? All right. So I put up a bunch of pieces of art. I put up a lot of tiger shark stuff. I only have one tiger. I mean, the tiger shark stuff went like that.
Right.
I just print out a shipping label to send out a bunch of stuff this morning. But it's just like, what are you going to do with all this? I mean, because somebody's just going to give it all away.
That's true. I'm going through the same thing right now.
Auction site.
Mm-hmm. Truth. It's hard. But you know who is always willing to lend a helping hand with anything that deals with that sort of thing?
Andy.
Welcome to the Florida Farm Bureau Insurance Wheel of Food on the Greg Tisch Show. I'm Andy Cohen, agent with Florida Farm Bureau Insurance. Please give me a call at 850-877-6581 for all your insurance needs. Now, spin that wheel, Matt.
Today on the wheel, we have Habana's Boardwalk out on Mahan Drive.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, so, so good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Hey,
it took a long time.
It did. Well, it was a big wheel today, and it's somebody who hasn't won in a while. And in fact, she asked me, she said, am I ever going to win again? Rail, congratulations. You got it this time.
Oh, so you rigged
it. Very nicely done. No, it just popped up.
So apparently all you have to do is ask Matt if you're ever going to win again.
She asked that weeks ago. Stop it.
And he'll win it.
No, that's not the way that works.
He'll rig it to win because he doesn't want me to win.
If you want to need to rig that, go ahead and send that over to Greg Tisch at MagicFL.com. That way we won't have any worries with that whatsoever. You can play that game.
Uh-huh.
Oh, fun.
Matt is rigging the contest.
I am not rigging the contest. Rail, congratulations.
Rigged.
You know where you need to pick it up, so you'll be good to go.
Rigged. Oh, then picks it up?
Yeah.
Okay, I see you got something worked out.
No, I don't have that.
I'm just kidding.
Stop it.
Be a better person today than you were yesterday. Everybody else, you do the same. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. Should have a very, very, very fun show. We've got Springtime Tallahassee coming in tomorrow. Sean's coming in.
Sweet!
It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait.
Exciting, exciting. Don't forget, you got Brian Kilmeade Show coming up right after the Town Hall News Break. He's got great information for you. Hey, thanks again for hanging out with us on The Greg Tisch Show. Have a great day, everybody. Bye now.